Dodge City, or the shootout at the OK Corral, Wyatt Earp found himself in a little river town 3 hours south of Chicago, known as Peoria, Illinois. This is the story of the Whiskey City Outlaw. Welcome back, everybody. It's the boys from Illinois, the Pub Time Podcast.
Looked like you had to warm that beer crack up a little bit there.
I was waiting for that music. If there's ever been some pub music, I think that was it.
That is good.
I'm all over that shit. I don't know who that is, but
it's very on brand.
I wish I could.
I would say
shout him out, but
well, obviously it's someone who would love for us to use their music for free. We can only assume.
Yeah, I would think so.
So
we'll Spotify's take it. Good with it, so I'm good with it.
We'll take it. So yeah, as you heard.
What it is.
Yeah, what it is. Little Wyatt Earp, man.
Yeah.
This is one we've had in the bag for a while.
This is basically one of those bonus episodes.
The one thing, though, I saw, you know, so we posted the episode today with, you know, this morning, last week by the time you all hear this, but the Satanic Temple episode, right? And I felt the same way, though, about our posting as I do about the Satanic Temple, that
what's that?
People, you know, people may read the title, see the Hail Satan in the description, and they're like gonna move on. They'll be like, ah, it's probably about devil worshipers.
No,
but like they're gonna dip their further toes from the truth, you know. It couldn't be further from the truth. Well, you know, the computer that I'm recording on, my wife's laptop, she was doing her schoolwork the other day, and she goes, I don't know if she saw the Google Doc or what, but she's like, Hail Satan, blah, 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 or whatever. And I'm like, let me tell you about it, this and that. I'm like, honestly, like, beyond the name, it's really fascinating. You and the kids
are going next weekend?
Yeah, sign us up.
To Chicago?
Yeah, I mean, well, we just talked about that, right, a couple weeks ago on the live about spouses just signing their families up for a church completely without any conversation or discussion whatsoever.
I was Jewish once for like 3 weeks, didn't even know it. You believe that?
I do not. Was it the 3 weeks in which maybe it was when you were circumcised, right? Was that when you were Jewish?
Basically. I still enjoy a good bagel. So some of it must have rubbed off.
I do notice now, is that camera still flashing?
I fucking told you, I got a ghost down here, brother.
Because as I'm watching it, it's like, it'll like strobe you.
Listen, here and there. We welcomed in the Dark Lord last week, and the fucker just won't leave. I think that's what's happening.
It appears that he is, he's tamed Hank, it looks like.
Yeah, he don't want to fight you today.
No, I guess not. That's all right, though. Speaking of lizards, I saw this crazy video today on TikTok of what appeared to be, based off the description, was a rattlesnake that had been like skinned, head gone, and like gutted, where it was literally just the muscle
still moving,
and it's just squirming all over the table, man, like curling up. And I'm like, holy shit.
You ever had?
I don't think so. I'm sure it's
pretty good.
Yeah, I imagine it's like anything else, any Chicken. Other fried white like meat. Gator. Yeah.
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 Same thing. Frog legs, I guess that might be a closer, not as fishy, but.
Right. I try it, though.
Yeah.
You know, the older I get, I'm more of the I'll try anything once type of guy.
Anal?
you know, if the right man comes along, I may consider it.
Good. I'm glad you I'm glad you took that question head on.
Head in, it sounds like.
For the right guy.
Yeah, for the right guy. You know, you can't put a price on true love, they say.
Why wouldn't you? You know, if you meet Mr. Right, and that's the only thing separating you is air and opportunity, what's it going to hurt? You know,
seize the moment.
Just use all the lube in the world.
Again, so another story of a couple who must have used all the lube in the world. I saw on my news station of TikTok, a woman was basically telling the story of another woman whose husband went and got a paternity test to determine, I guess, if he was the father of their daughter. Like, I mean, I guess I don't know how old the daughter was, but it sounds like it had been a while. It wasn't like it was like baby born paternity test. It had been like years later. And why he did it, don't know. Don't have that context. But it came back that he wasn't the father. And she's freaking out. Like, I've never cheated on him. I have no idea what's going on. Like, he's pissed. He thinks I cheated on him. He's distancing himself from our daughter. And so they end up going to get, like, blood tests, both of them, and find out that neither one of them are the biological parents of their daughter. And it's been determined that the hospital...
flip-flopped the baby.
Pulled a switcheroo, and they're suing the hospital.
How old is this?
I don't know. I didn't. They didn't disclose the age. I didn't get that. But in the comments, though, there was a woman who said, 20 years ago, this happened to me and my husband. And when they found out, they went to see what had become of their biological son. And he was in foster care because the parents that had taken him home got in a car accident and died. And so they then at that point took custody of both of them, of their biological son and the son they had raised as their son.
Yeah.
Up to that point in time. But can you imagine what would that be like if you got to that point? Let's just say they're 10 years old.
Now that you say, I'm testing all these motherfuckers tomorrow. 23 and me for each one of them.
I don't know, man. There's really no mistaking that they're yours, you know, when you look around, for sure. I mean,
what do you mean?
They've got the heads to prove it.
No, a mailman, big ass dome too.
What would you do? You know, you're a 10-year-old and you find this out, and so you go down the rabbit hole to like find out what happened to your biological child, and what if it turns out that they are with a good family and good parents who love them and they love them, and they're, you know, that's gotta be the weirdest thing ever. Like, not that you'd want to see that they'd had a bad life, because that would probably be more heartbreaking.
I'm taking it back. You know, unfortunate.
But what do you do to the one that you raised as your own?
Very unfortunate, sir. You gotta leave.
You just rock the trade. Like, see you later. Okay.
Yeah, no draft picks either.
Oh my gosh. I can't imagine. That'd just be awful. I mean, sure, there are worse things that could happen to a person, but my goodness. And I just wonder how that happens. It seems like, at least in my experience, that there are so many fail-safes in place to prevent that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Color coding. I mean, there's
it's like they got bracelets, babies, ankle bands, like everything else. And I don't know, man. One of my coworkers is expecting... his wife is expecting, I should say. And we were talking about the story. And he said that he's like, well, when my baby's born, I'm going to like draw on it at a permanent marker or something, like put my initials on it. I know.
To be honest, I'm going to have to check. I might have got swapped a couple times. I don't know. I said 23andMe. They're having a sale right now. So
you think that that you might have gotten swapped personally?
These kids upstairs. Squatters. I'm gonna check them out, make sure they're legit. Check their paperwork, just like they would anywhere else.
What if someone pulled an old switcheroo at the altar and you find out your wife is not who you thought you married?
Fuck.
I think we've all already discovered that in our own lives. Can we sue
I give the answer to that a couple weeks ago when you asked me what the perfect time is to get married.
And you said never?
Never.
No, you said, yeah, you and my dad agreed on that.
You want a vacuum to stop sucking? You marry it. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. That's just a joke. I'm kidding. Sometimes.
Did you see the video I sent you earlier that?
Yes, yes, yes.
Giving up blowjobs or cheese.
I know you ain't giving up either, so it's okay. I won't call you out.
What did the guy say? He's like, oh, blowjobs all day. They hurt my jaw.
You love what you love.
I do love cheese.
Are you going to start growing those fucking curls out?
Probably not.
Please, just once.
No.
You wear a hat all goddamn day. It doesn't matter.
I do. Yeah, that's true.
Just let them curls flow out from under. Everybody will think you have a beautiful head of hair.
I haven't shaved my head in a while. It's just not growing very fast anymore. All my hair growth energy is going to my face now. Like the hair on my head is like,
because you're fucking Apache for 25 years of your life.
Yeah, I don't know, man, but I'll take it. You know, better late than never, or so they say. Hey, look at us.
Yeah, fuck, I had to bring you in a little closer.
Look, I need to back up.
No, you're good.
Whoa, got the burps, man.
What are you gonna do about it? We drinking Boost Lattes.
Yeah. The old reliable. Some lattes. I'm
fucking with these bears. There? You brought me some bears. Now it's like kind of poo pooed on them.
You were, but man. I'm like, I'm telling you.
I get into them now. They taste just like my Voodoo Rangers. Big fan.
I tell you what, those IPAs though, man. They sneak up on me. I gotta be careful.
So I got a couple of these 9%. That's been my choice. Like when I go to get a silo, maybe for the ride home, I go for that 9.9. Seems to be a good way to start the day.
You doing the bear brown hugs bag or
challenge,
whatever?
Yeah, brown bag challenge. Yeah.
pub
law, right? We've already established pub law is drinking and driving's perfectly legal. Being drunk and driving,
drinking
big
and driving
discrepancy.
Drinking and driving is not perfectly legal, for the record.
Pub law.
But, you know, I've always said, if you're going to get busted for being drunk while driving, you might as well be drinking while driving.
That's a shitty way to think about it. But I like my take on it a little better, but who's counting?
I'm not saying it's like a great philosophy.
No, it's not. But, I said pub log. Maybe it's a flash again. Did you see that?
It is, man. It's flashing. I don't know what it is, man.
Spooky.
Strobe light.
Leviathan.
Probably something you did wrong on your end. Sure.
I've been taken over right now.
So speaking of electricity and lights, let's go back to a time where this wasn't so prevalent, right? When was electricity invented? I don't even know. Do you?
Late 1800s.
So,
like,
and
where
I'm sure
it was useful for people. They had telegraphs and shit back then, but I'm not sure they really.
Right. And maybe major cities had certain spots that had.
Yeah, fancy people, fuckers. But so I'd say right around this time, 1880s, somewhere in there, maybe.
Okay. All right. So we might have a few light bulbs flickering. In the old Whiskey City back in the mid to late 1800s. We'll call it the late 1800s. That's fine. So, as you heard in the opening, Wyatt Earp has some ties to Peoria, where we're from here in the pub. And, you know, most of you know him from the movie Tombstone and the OK Corral, Doc Holliday, Dodge City, all that sort of stuff. But before all of these things, Wyatt Earp set up shop here in Peoria for a while. He was actually born about, what, hour 15 away in Monmouth, Illinois.
Yeah, boy.
So, which is actually where my wife is from. No relation, I don't think.
It could be somewhere down the road.
Way down the line. So we decided, in the spirit of the episode, as we so often do, to do our 5 for 5 on outlaws or Western characters in general. Now, do these have to be
Wild West
real life characters, or can they be fictional characters?
We ain't taking no Pecos Bill. Yes, they gotta be real.
I was just curious. I don't know that I have any fictional characters.
Who are you gonna have?
I don't think I was gonna take any fictional characters at all.
You can't take Yosemite Sam. He's off the list.
No.
Yeah.
No, what about Arkansas Dave Rudabaugh? Was he
he's real? He's real.
Was he? I didn't tell me. Was
there not? Wyatt Earp chased his ass down, son.
Really?
Later in life, yeah.
Wow. So I don't know that mine are going to have much of an order to them, as far as
I'm the going hierarchy. First. I'm going first because I'm taking my one first, and I don't want you to snake him.
That is tomorrow.
That's the gentleman. Doc Holliday.
Okay.
He's my guy. He's off the board. I hate Dennis, except for this guy. Huge fan. Likes to drink, likes to gamble, and hang out with hookers. I don't know what else to say about this guy. If ever there were a role model, I think he's it.
Okay.
And plays the fucking piano like Beethoven.
I am going to take, as my number one, then, I'm going to take Billy the Kid, man. At least the way he's
what's his real name? What's his real name? Supposed real name.
William Bonney, right?
Yeah, very nice. Very nice. William H. Bonney.
Yes, William H. Bonney. I do remember that. So just at least the confidence that he exudes in the movies where they portray him, you know, just kind of that I don't give a fuck, find a way out of a jam type of dude. And I think he was the type of person that, despite, you know, obviously his outlaw lifestyle, seemed to really care about the people closest to him. Which, you know, I always value people who value those closest to them. You know, their little circle of friends or whoever their people are. So it appears that he was that type of guy.
My number four, Hillbilly Robin Hood. Jesse fucking James.
There you go. With ties to not too far from here, you know, down in Missouri.
Steal from the rich and give to the poor. That's my guy right there.
The big train robber, right?
Oh, yeah. He was all over their ass.
I mean, obviously, there's, you know, Wyatt Earp's on the list, but I figure we're talking about him, so I'm not going to necessarily use him. You know, kind of a person. I'm gonna take Annie Oakley.
Annie Oakley, what
That's
about
right.
her?
Right, I'm gonna take Annie Oakley. I mean, just the fact that in a world basically ruled by men in terms of popularity and things like that. I mean, obviously she's renowned as a wonderful, whatever you call female markswoman, good with
marks
a gun.
Person, it's marks person,
a sharpshooter. Got in on Wild Bill or Buffalo Bill's Wild West show.
Hell yeah.
Showing off her talents. So I will take Annie Oakley.
Number three, I'm going to go off the page a little bit. I'm going fucking Crazy Horse.
Okay.
I feel like a lot of those guys, the chiefs and shit of those different tribes, kind of get buried. The way the story was told to us, they were savages and this and that, but in war, that's what you should be as a fucking savage, is it not?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I mean, that's how most, you know, settlers met them, was in a battle.
Well, let's face it, it's not much different than, I mean, obviously a different setting, but if some fucking people just all of a sudden came walking into your neighborhood or into your home and saying, leave, this is ours now. Like, you would probably meet them the same way that most of these Indians met them.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
And
Native Americans.
Yeah, you can't fault them for that.
What are you saying Indians for?
What's so, hey, I'm going to...
This is a family show.
I'm right there with you. I've got to go with one of my tribesmen, a prominent leader and medicine man of the Apache.
Oh, you motherfucker.
Geronimo.
Quit reading that list. What list
I'm
are you
taking
reading?
Geronimo, man.
Bitch.
Yeah, I'm not going to let you take all the good ones. I'll take Geronimo. Obviously, a lot of similarities there between Crazy Horse and Geronimo. And, yeah, he's my next guy.
I'm going to take Creek Johnson.
Creek Johnson.
And although we don't get into it, but he's a part of Wyatt Earp's, like, Vendetta ride, like, at the end. It's him, Doc Holliday, Wyatt Earp, Texas Jack Vermillion, and Virgil, I don't think, ever makes it. So I think it's just those four guys. And they basically go on a fucking murder spree, you know what I mean, for 3 to 4 weeks. So I'm putting Creek down. That's a badass name.
It is pretty badass.
Oh, my God. I love it.
So, hey, coming at you, Davy Crockett, King of the Wild Frontier.
Davy fucking Crockett. Are you serious?
Frontiersman.
Are you serious with me right now?
Politician, soldier. He did it all, man. Folk hero, Davy Crockett. Davy Crockett, King of the Wild Frontier. Who you got next? Man, you're flashing. You're just flashing at me.
I know. Satan inside this camera now. He's pissed. I'm going to go English Gentleman, Black Bart. He was a stagecoach robber. Also, very much like Jesse James, big train guy, liked to knock off those Pinkerton trains, had all the money in them. Another guy that kind of gets lost in the mix of things with the White Herbs and Wild Bill Hickox and shit like that. So,
and I'm going to wrap my list up with a person, a woman, who would have fit right into the Whiskey City back in the Wyatt Earp days, who would fit right in here with us at the pub, and that is Calamity Jane. Sharpshooter, prospector, rowdy prostitute, gambler, and heavy drinker. Come on down. Don't tip me with a good time.
Come Calamity get you some. Jane. Yeah?
Why not, buddy?
What else do you think she would
she don't She with? Don't look real good, though. I mean, the black and white probably don't do her justice.
Show me one up. Let's see it. Oh, my God.
Not great. Kind of dressed like a dude.
That's. I'm okay with that.
A little bit.
That whiskey back then was a real deal.
So, yeah, Calamity Jane. I think that's a pretty solid list. There's 10 solid Wild West figures.
Yeah, no Butch Cassidy. How'd that happen?
I know, man. I noticed that. No Butch Cassidy.
Sundance.
Oh, there was another one, which I probably missed. Let's see. No Buffalo Bill.
Yeah.
No Wild Bill.
Fuck Wild Bill. Curly Bill getting one at the end of this episode, too.
Curly Bill.
Saving him for the end. Johnny Ringo.
Johnny Ringo.
Fuck them both.
So.
What do you think? What do you think? How cool would it have been? 1880. I mean, you're fucking riding your horse into Tombstone, Arizona, or Dodge City, Kansas, or
well, back then it'd be no different than you riding your Dodge into Dodge City, Kansas. I mean, those people didn't realize it wasn't as cool to them. Now, granted, the West was seemed as this sort of uncharted territory. Probably almost the equivalent of like going to the fucking moon, right? And so maybe there's some significance or excitement wrapped up in all of that. But I think that for them, they were just living their life. You know, it didn't seem as unique as it does to us, you know, 150 years later.
I guess I'm just saying that time period. I think if there were a period in time I could go back to, like, this is my fucking period. Love this idea. Because you're not really in the fucking Stone Ages, you know what I mean?
No air conditioning.
To go back in the time of like the kings and knights and shit, that sounds cool too. But now you've got a little innovation going on. You can at least catch a train if you need to. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Well, it doesn't
complete darkness.
As a man who still writes checks, I imagine you would have loved going back in time to where primitive things were the norm and technology was basically non-existent.
I'd shoot your fucking ass right in the middle of the street. I'll tell you that right now. We'd already be having an issue.
You'd be able to go out and have a draw. Or a
10 paces, I'd mark them off. Shoot you right in the ass.
Speaking of, what's The Quick and the Dead? That's a good movie.
Yeah, it is.
You know what I'm talking about? That's a solid one. That's a solid Western.
She's smoking hot in that movie, too.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah. And Leo, right? He's young.
Yeah, he's the kid. Yeah. Gene Hackman's an asshole. He's such an asshole in Western movies. I don't know what it is.
Leo's fucking awful. Leo's like fresh out of What's Eating Gilbert Grape, I think.
Matching the gas tank.
Yeah.
Boom, boom.
So we're going to tell you a little story here. It might be a little out of our norm, but I don't know if there's a better way to do it. So we're going to do our best to tell you a little story about Wyatt Earp and his adventures here in Peoria, Illinois. So the 1860s through the 1890s gave birth to the period known as the Wild West, like we just talked about, and laid a foundation to its ensuing mythology. And, I mean, there's a whole genre of movies and TV shows about it. So it was an era of cowboys, Indians, pioneers, and outlaws brought together by the purposes of expansion, defense, greed, and reinvention. You know, I think that you had people fleeing more populated areas for, you know, that version of the American dream, the promise of gold and a new life, or the promise of riches, or the thought or the dream of riches. And I feel like most of them probably met a much harsher lifestyle and more resistance in the way of, like we talked about, the Native Americans, obviously other settlers that, you know, were trying to stake their own claim. And it was probably a little more grueling than people dreamt it up to be in their minds, I would imagine.
What do you mean? The expansion moving west?
Yeah, like you know, loading up and moving west. You know, I think that it was kind of a sexy idea, I thought. You know, it probably was glamorized a little bit. And
your life expectancy.
Reality
probably wasn't great.
Right. And reality was probably much harsher than, like I said, what the expectation or the vision was.
And it really wasn't west so much. It's that middle ground, you know, because California was fairly established by then. But it was like from California to New York, man. It was a fucking coin toss if you're going to make it or not.
Well, in the mountains. I mean, crossing the Rockies was a fucking issue.
Oh, fuck.
You know, and we
asked the Donner Party how that worked out.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about going over the Donner Party, Donner Pass situation at some point in time. But I mean, that's just one story. Imagine how many stories similar to that one are out there that we've never heard of.
I've heard another good one of another cannibal situation, but I think the guy was like more into it than, you know, out of necessity.
Yeah. We've talked about a few guys like that. So anyways, so of the legends created in the Wild West, none of them are larger than that of Wyatt Earp. From Wichita to Dodge City to the OK Corral and Tombstone, the man becomes a myth. Although there are a few years of Wyatt's life that are usually left out of the storybooks. The years he spent in the whiskey city known as Peoria, Illinois.
And to be honest, huge fan. All right. Tombstone, easily my favorite movie of all time. Very interested in the subject. I'm 37 years old now. Up until maybe 3 years ago, I didn't even fucking had a clue this guy was ever in Peoria, around Peoria.
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of Peoria was a big deal back in the day. A lot of famous people, especially in that time period, spent time in Peoria. There's stories of Charles Manson connects back to Peoria, and there's some stories that, you know, letters that he wrote about Peoria and things like that. So, I mean, and that's more modern a little bit, of course, but, you know, Peoria's got a pretty rich history when it comes to this sort of stuff. So let's take you in the time machine back to September 7th, 1872. And you're sitting in Peoria, Illinois, on a probably a hot ass day, being in early September, and for some days complaints had reached Captain Gill about this boat that was tied up at Wesley Bend beyond the Peoria city limits, but by ordinance still within his jurisdiction. A young man from the lower end of Peoria had gone there night after night to carouse and then stagger home and abuse his mother. One of the denizens of the boat had marched into the uproarious Bunker Hill section of town and boldly stoned a house, settling old scores. In Captain Gill's mind, the gunboat had overstayed its welcome. He put a patrol whistle to his lips and blew a sharp blast. His men charged through the four doors. The fiddler and the dancers scattered, but there was no escape. In one of the eight bedrooms, a man cursed and threw his clothes. And threw on his clothes, excuse me, or threw them. Who knows? Depends on how you like to get down.
Yeah.
While the woman with him broke out in knowing laughter and told him to give up. The police shouldered open another bedroom door and pounded on the dazed and startled inhabitants of the floating brothel.
They didn't calm down him. I mean, she maybe was, you know, we may have this in reverse a little bit.
How
this,
so?
This is a floating whorehouse.
Yeah, for sure. Which, I mean, it doesn't sound like that initially. So we've got a floating whorehouse. This is very innovative.
This is not a bad idea.
For the time.
If anything, we could go back. You know what I mean? History repeats itself. This is a great idea.
Full circle. Maybe it'll be like casinos, where for a long time the only legal casinos were on water. So.
Yeah, stabbing cabin. Bring him back. Come on down.
So among them were the owner, an experienced pimp from Beardstown, 90 miles downriver, and in another room, the owner's bartender and right-hand man, a rough house slugger named Wyatt Earp and his wife, Sarah. I tell you what, I've met a few people from Beardstown, never met no pimps.
No?
Tell you that much.
One translator.
Yeah. So events make clear that this was the Wyatt Barry Stapp Earp of OK Corral fame, and enduring Western legend, a man in his mid-20s who was already acquiring quite the reputation. The gunboat incident of September 7th, 1872 was not the first collision between him and the Peoria police that year. On February 24th, he and his brother Morgan had been seized in a raid on Jane Haspel's brothel in the city's red light district, close to the train yards, transient boarding houses, and hotels catering to commercial travelers. So if you listen to our Richard Pryor episode, now obviously this took place about 100 years prior to Richard
Pryor
growing up in town. But, you know, Peoria had a very prevalent red light district, brothels. It was Sin City in a lot of ways. And, I mean, if you ask me, weeding that part of Peoria out was probably the beginning of the end of Peoria being what it was.
Really cool. Yeah. But it sounds like the way they describe it, being by the train yard and everything, that red light district would have been down by like Hiram Walker, where that whiskey that they're talking about was being produced in massive quantities.
See, and I always envisioned in my head, I guess, and based off of maybe the Richard Pryor story or something else I've read, that it was more up by like where like Komatsu, the Taft Homes, that area.
Maybe see not. Yeah, because the train yard still today is down, you know, it's basically down behind like
on the ADM south, yeah,
and all that. So
no, absolutely.
The stockyards, you know,
right
there on the river. Not that Komatsu wouldn't be, but
so at a hearing shortly afterward, a prostitute nabbed with the Earps cinched their guilt. She gave testimony to the effect that they had not been entrapped, but had knowingly consorted with her, and each man paid a fine of $20 and costs, which back then, that's probably a chunk of change. The raid was part of a campaign launched by the new mayor and his superintendent of police, Samuel Gill, to placate the moral element among their constituents by putting well-publicized pressure on the flesh trade. Which flesh obviously trade. Was not. Obviously,
can we
it wasn't.
Please successful. Bring that back.
The flesh trade. Obviously not successful though, because like I said, we talked about it being still alive and well during Richard Pryor's childhood.
This is probably another situation where the government, they're putting their nose in a place that really, well, who are they hurting? You know what I mean?
White
people. Like, I get the fact if they're getting drunk. Yes, white people. Exactly. If they're getting drunk and rowdy, that's one thing. The pussy didn't make them do that. You know what I mean? I just happened to be where they were at the time. What does it, I don't, outlawing prostitution, I don't get it.
Well, one
you just
thing
push
too.
It underground, it goes somewhere else. You know what I mean? Well, it just, you sure. don't stop it.
And if you think about it, maybe it's one of those things that's very similar to like the legalization of marijuana, just the mindset of like, are we doing more harm?
The legalization with marijuana didn't come around to them fucking white people figured out how they could make more money off of selling it than they could incarcerating you for doing it.
That's a fair point.
They've obviously found it now. That's the biggest lie I think told to anybody ever in this world.
Sure.
Is that marijuana was addictive or it was bad for you or any worse than anything else that you can over the counter purchase.
I got to believe huge that there's more money and more security in regulating these things, right? Regulating them and taxing them and allowing them to exist, you know, whether it's the sale of drugs like marijuana or the flesh trade, as they like to call it. So on this occasion, the amount of the fine suggests that the Earps were convicted of being nothing more than Johns. However, the Roots Peoria City Directory for 1872 and 1873 lists Wyatt living at the same address as Jane Haspel on Washington Street near the corner of Hamilton. So that's right, the downtown area of Peoria. And since the city directory went to press on March 1st, 1872, and canvassing for it would have taken at least several months, it is probable that Wyatt was residing in the Haspel brothel, and not merely patronizing it at the time of his arrest. So, I mean, hey, why not just set up shop?
Basically, he's like a bouncer. You know, when they call him a pimp, you know, the pimp of Peoria or whatever, he's basically just giving protection to these women that nobody's going to get out of line. Because from any story you read, Wyatt Earp was a fucking badass. He didn't talk a whole bunch. He wasn't very social. You fucking got out of line. He put your ass back in. Like he had no fear. It didn't matter how big your fucking ass was. He's in your face. So to a place like this, he's valuable. You know what I mean? He probably made good money.
Right. Probably there. way tougher than Kurt Russell.
I'd beat the fuck out of Kurt Russell.
So 2 months afterwards, on April 24th, the prostitute who had turned state's evidence against the Earps, Minnie Randall, committed suicide by swallowing 6 grains of morphine. The Peoria Daily Transcript noted that she had been an inmate of the McClellan Building on Main Street, a house of ill fame within several blocks of Jane Haspel's. It further remarked that the deceased had been stopping at McClellan's with the notorious prostitute Sally Haspel.
To be honest, I think that building still exists.
Really?
Yeah, the McClellan Building. Which
that's kind of cool. That is cool, if that's true. So on September 9th, 1872, 2 days after the seizure of the gunboat, the prisoners lined up before the police magistrate James Cunningham in Peoria City Hall. Those charged totaled 7 men and 6 women. So, you know, they're making an example of them, trying to get the slow down the flesh trade. The officers who had taken part in the raid boasted. So it sounds like cops were still assholes back then. they were the quietest
surprise.
They were the quietest set of bods and pimps they had ever handled. And they felt so cheap at their unexpected capture. which is a weird description. The Peoria Daily National Democrat on September 10th reported that some of the women are said to be good looking, but all appear to be terribly depraved.
God, I love it when they're like that. Good looking woman with low morals. I love
it. Where would you go to find that right now?
Come on down upstairs. Depends. It depends if she's listening or not. If she's listening, she'd be pissed. She's not going to be depraved. Very unfortunate.
Yeah, well, at least it's not live. So John Walton, the skipper of the boat, and Wyatt Earp, the Peoria bummer, were each fined $43.15. Sarah Earp, alias Sally Heckle, calls herself wife of Wyatt.
That's a fucking hit, man. $43?
Yeah.
That's a slab. I mean, that's some change.
It is. So it was no simple matter to become a pimp at a major house of prostitution in Peoria. So there must have been a lot of competition. Some men in the profession had gained footholds during the years following the Civil War. Many of them veterans for whom carnage had become second nature, and they continually made news for their violent exploits in a tough town where slaughterhouses and distilleries were employers of first resort. So, yeah, I mean, a town where basically it was just a rough fucking town, man, where people partied and they fucked and drank.
And like I said, I think like nowadays you hear the word pimp, you get a different idea in your mind. What was the name of the house? Like, what was the name of the brothel? Jane Hospital, right?
Yeah.
She's the madam. She's in charge. Like, she's the real runner.
CEO.
Correct. Or CBO or HBO, head bitch in charge. You know what I mean? Like, they're just there giving protection. So I think a lot of times when people hear the word pimp, you're like, oh, God, he's treating these women like shit, whatever. They weren't. Like, they were there. Guardians. That's basically all they did.
If you've ever been to a strip club, you've seen the modern day Wyatt Earp. He's usually 6'5", dark skinned, and will rip your face off.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all bumped into these guys, right? The bouncers at strip clubs, and I mean, or any bar, but at strip clubs, they tend to be a little more imposing.
Now it does. So after reading all this, I have kind of made a slight connection with Tombstone, because there's a spot in that movie, like right before the shootout, that Ike Clanton comes into the bar and he's in Virgil's face, betting on me drunk, you know, whatever. He's like, you guys are all just a bunch of pimps. And it never made sense till now, you know, what they're right. Talking about. Obviously they knew, you know, other people that really looked into this shit would have known. This is not like this was hidden history. It was just something that you never really researched.
Right. So, I mean, I guess you wonder how that works. Like, you grant protection to the women of the brothel and they pay you for it, right? I mean,
yeah, you're a bouncer, you're a bodyguard. Right. That's basically all you are. You gotta imagine those guys get trashed at the saloon or wherever else, the fucking gambling boat, and they want to come in, and you know they're going to act a fool.
Right. No doubt about that.
Who are you going to have in charge to take care of that shit?
Wyatt Earp, apparently.
And his brothers.
Yep, and it says that if Wyatt Earp had not cultivated a previous acquaintance with the Haspels, he must have lived in Peoria for an extended period in 1871 to 1872, long enough to earn a reputation as a hard case. This is abundant circumstantial evidence that Sarah Earp or Sally Hackett, Sally Haskell, and Sally Haspel are one and the same person. So Sally Haspel is allegedly a person affiliated, right, with Sarah the brothel, Earp. Right? Yeah, yeah. It's maybe in her name. Daughter. Yeah. So Wyatt's wife is Sarah Earp or Sally Heckle, Sally Haskell, Sally Haspel. Again, one and the same person. And such a conclusion adds a chapter of more than a little relevance to Wyatt Earp's biography. It casts light on a shadowy figure who seemingly came into his life shortly after he left Peoria. So By early 1874, Wyatt had turned up in the rip-roaring cattle town of Wichita, Kansas, and municipal records show that a prostitute using the name of Sally Earp operated a brothel with Wyatt Earp's sister-in-law, Bessie, in Wichita. So there's a lot of connections here, a lot of using fake names, you know, Sarah, Sally, Earp, Heckle, Haspel, so on.
And, she's good. She's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, absolutely. I wonder what the purpose of that would have been back then, because, I mean, I wouldn't imagine. I'm
you
fascinated
didn't want your wanted poster to say Sally Earp. It could be Sally Haskell.
That's a good change, point, I suppose. So as late as September 1872, little more than a year before Sally Earp first appears on the police court docket of Wichita, she was claiming to be his wife. And the last word on where she and Wyatt were bound was westward. As gunboat skipper John Walton said, deep water on the Mississippi, where they don't find decent people sleeping in their beds at night. So I don't know, that was kind of I kind of butchered that there at the end, but westward they go.
Still waters run deep. I mean, let's be honest. Moral right. of this story.
Moral story is, yeah, Wyatt Earp spent, I guess, what, a year or so in Peoria as a pimp, mixing it up with the law a little bit, and sounds like it's where maybe he met his bride.
His first ex-wife.
That's right.
He had three or four of them, so.
Who's the one in Tombstone?
Oh, she's gorgeous. That's Maddie. No, Maddie was the one that dies.
I can't remember.
The actress. I can't remember either. But that's they lived together until.
Well, the actress is the one, but he's there with.
That's his. Yeah, her name's Maddie. The one he's there with in Tombstone. Yeah.
She's the pill popper.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't. She took a lot of
whatever. That's
opium, basically.
Yeah.
Liquid opium.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
But the actress, chef's kiss. I mean,
huge fan. Oh, for sure. Absolutely. No, he definitely upgraded.
She's Faust. She's the devil in that play. So, she's probably who's in this fucking camera right now, making the bitch flash in my face.
It's probably a lot easier to pull that sort of thing off back then.
Pull what?
The old
piece of ass like old, that? Or
well, just the old switch, the old switcheroo. Just, hey, I'm just going to leave your dumb ass here and take off with old girl. Oh. Skip town. You know, no internet.
I thought you were saying trying to play for the other team. I think the old cup check still works. I mean, just gender it, right?
What are you talking about?
Because she's in the play, and she's a man. She's the devil. Nobody knows it until she takes her mask off and whips her hair around.
Right.
And I'm just saying a good old cup check will let you know.
I suppose so.
Where's Sutton at when we need him?
I don't know.
So he can explain this to you.
He would have just talked about Doc Holliday for 45 minutes.
I'd be okay with that.
That's all it would have done. I'm your Huckleberry, bad pal.
So, kind of off script, but Doc Holliday, they say he was like probably like one of the best, gunfighters in the Old West. But he was always so fucking drunk. Like, it'd take him a couple shots to get one in you. Like, sober fucking put you to sleep one shot, but they say there was a couple like poker games gone wrong, go outside, he's got to lay three or four down before he gets one in you, just smoked.
So how bad's the other guy if he can't get one in before you get off three or four?
Don't know, it doesn't matter. Guy was never shy, died of tuberculosis, died with boots on, kind of.
That's crazy. I think that it's Val Kilmer, right? I think he does a pretty damn good job. But
that might be the best Western character ever played, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck them Clint Eastwood movies. They ain't no good.
Yeah. No, I'm not crazy about Clint Eastwood. Honestly, I haven't watched a lot of his Westerns. I'll admit that. But just never really been drawn to the guy. I don't know that I've seen a lot of John Wayne movies or TV shows either, to be honest.
But the actual story of Doc Holliday, where he comes from, how he gets where he's at, That's pretty fascinating.
Was he actually a dentist?
He was, like, board certified, like, could have, that's what could have done, but he was a much better gambler, it sounds like, and drinker.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you meet your calling, I think that you just got to run with it.
Yeah, kids, what we're saying is chase your dreams.
That's right.
This is a family podcast.
Hey, speaking of that, chasing your dreams. Do you feel like, I feel like now, as an adult looking back, that being sold that whole you can be whatever you want to be stuff is total bullshit. You can be whatever you want. You can be whatever you want to be. You just follow your dreams. You can be an awful lot of shit, right? But if barring
any huge disability, I think you can, if given the right backing. Why couldn't you?
You were never going to play in the NBA.
Fuck you.
Right? I was never going to be an Olympic distance runner. Like, I mean, there's just so many things I think that you can...
But just, if that's something you wanted, you'd work towards. I mean,
I could be a distance runner.
Plenty of people probably told Jason Williams he couldn't play in the NBA either. And I know that motherfucker ain't much taller than I am.
I'm just saying, I think that, yes, you can overcome a lot with hard work, determination, and probably a little bit of luck. But the belief that you could literally be anything you want to be, I think, is a little bit of a stretch.
Hey, listen, we just talked about Wyatt Earp. You know what he turns out to be? Look where he started. From pimp to penthouse.
I guess so. And I suppose this day and age, you could really be whatever you want. You just have identify as it. You just have to say, hey, I am now this. I choose to be, I just more ask them, like, what do you want? Like, which, granted, you know.
No, they're young. So they're young.
She's not old enough. But, like, my whole thought is I ask her all the time just out of curiosity. Like, what do you like? What do you think you'd want to be when you grow up? You know, like, and I don't rain on her parade if she says anything crazy.
What are you, as a parent, going to tell her? Are you going to tell her what she can or can't be? Because that's a dick move.
No.
You leave it open to them because it's the work they put in, whether you want them to be it or not. It's the work they put forward.
Well, I think what I would tell people is there's a couple things you need to consider. One is what makes you happy. Two is what are you good at? And if what makes you happy is the same as what you're good at, you're in fucking business. But if what makes you happy, and there comes a point in time in life where if what makes you happy isn't going to provide you with the whatever sort of lifestyle you desire or require, you're going to need to shift gears and do what you're good at or what you're capable of instead. I mean,
I haven't really found out what I'm good at yet. Or at least I don't get paid to do what I'm good at.
Well, you do something that you're good enough at to make a living. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm not saying you're a fucking
expert.
I
love what I'm doing.
There you go.
Love it. I'm not.
So you're about the sweet spot though. You love it. You know, you enjoy it, makes you happy, and you're good at it. Good enough that they pay you to show up and do it every day, right? So,
And you're still invested enough that you want to learn. I think that's kind of the issue. If ever you get to a point where you feel like you know everything about it,
right?
Probably time to hang it up.
Yeah, I think it's
somewhere else.
Do something where you can be challenged, where you feel like there's room to grow and learn. And I mean, I think if you just walk in somewhere and like, you're going to do, I can't imagine like it was back in the day with like probably our grandparents where, you know, they walked in somewhere and they were, maybe they ran some sort of a machine at like a Caterpillar or somewhere like that. And they did the same fucking thing for 30 fucking years every day. You know what I mean? Like
400 times a day.
And, you know, or even you could probably say it. I mean, your dad is a bricklayer, you know, I'm sure you obviously built different structures and probably used different types of block from time to time, but there probably was a lot of monotony to it.
Oh God, every day,
I imagine. And I think that now, that's the way you're wired, and that's what trips your trigger, and if the means to an end for you is just hey, they're going to pay me a good amount of money to do this, and all I care about is getting to the end of the week and getting that paycheck because it provides me the lifestyle I like to live, and that's fine.
But to be honest, you want to talk about success, right? And it might not always be on the fucking dotted line. You know, when you get those W-2s back and you see big numbers, is what it is. But if you hate your life, you're never around your family. Are you winning? Are you really winning? Not always.
No. I mean, honestly,
the idea is to find something you're passionate about that you do enjoy. You don't fucking. I see these grumpy old fucks, and I've talked about it before, but you see these grumpy old fucks come to work every day, hate their life, hate their wife. And it's like, what are you doing here? Fucking go somewhere else, man. I don't want to hear your shit. Life's depressing for everybody at some fucking point in time.
Yeah.
But if that's absolutely how you are every fucking day, God damn it. Go do something about it.
Right. I mean, like, I guess happiness is different for everybody, but I mean, I'll be honest, like me and my wife recently had this conversation, and I'm like, you know what? All that matters to me when it comes to life and like money, I want to make enough money that we can have the things we want to have, you know, put a roof over our heads, give our kids the things they need, and travel and have experiences. And at the end of the day, as long as we can afford to do those things, like the rest of it doesn't fucking matter to me, because those are the things that I, you know, would make me happy. Or we agree that make us happy is obviously being able to provide for our children and our family and traveling and having experiences and going different places. I don't have to have a fancy brand new truck. I don't need, you know, some sort of crazy lawnmower or whatever. I mean, who knows what, just throw all the random shit out there. You know, at the end of the day, it's like, that's, you know, and I've never really thought about it in that simple of a way, you know, like just that, hey, like all that really matters is that we're doing things that make us happy at the end.
As soon as my children leave my house, I think I'm going to live my life as a homeless man.
Yeah.
I ain't even kidding. I'm fucking hitting the road, Jack. Gone.
You mean like those folks that like live in the Sprinter vans and shit like that?
Yeah,
or what?
Fuck yeah. You better believe it. Gone. I go find some little bullshit place to work for a little bit and hang the fuck out and go here.
I am
go
so,
there.
Fucking, yeah. I'm so
dried out.
Fascinated. I'm so fascinated by the people that do that, because I don't know how sometimes. Like, oh, we just live. It's like a family, right? And they're like, they got little kids and everything. And they're like, oh, we just live in our fucking van or motorhome or whatever. I'm like, what do you do for fucking, like, how do you make money to support your lifestyle? You know, I mean, I know like this day and age, there's a lot of jobs you can do remotely and things. But honestly, what I found is a lot of those people are just real fucking creative about ways to generate enough money to do what they got to do.
I'm a beekeeper and my wife collects stamps. I mean, fuck, you've seen the
right.
Our budget's $1 million.
Right.
I don't know. And to be honest, fuck, I've been poor before. It ain't that bad. It just tastes different than having money. I have no problem. I think just living on the road and seeing different shit, awesome.
I agree. I'm excited. I agree wholeheartedly, man. Because I think that, you know, as cliche as it sounds, like all these possessions, you know, you can't take them with you when you go, right? They say, but like the memories you make and the experiences you have going new places, sharing those things with people you care about, like that stuff's irreplaceable. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, and listen, you
and no one can ever take that away from you.
You didn't necessarily agree with me last week about what I said about your soul and what you leave here and what you don't leave here. But damn near said what I said, word for word, right there.
I mean, as far as
what you do while you're here, that's the experience. That's your heaven or your hell.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, I get what you're saying. I think, though, as far as a soul that I said last week that you have, I do think there's an energy. There's something more than this body that has its own energy or life to it. And what happens to it when this body dies? I don't know.
If you had one place in the United States that you could go live homeless right now, where would it be?
Oh, man. I don't know. I tell you what, man. I've never
been. Just say San Francisco.
No, I've never been a big B beach person, but the experiences we've had the last couple of years, I'd go like somewhere near the beach, dude. The weather's nice.
What do you
nice,
think they're
going to
do to a homeless
good.
Person? What are they going to do?
What do you mean?
They're probably going to remove you. You're not going to be able to set up shop on the beach. This is
well, maybe not,
customers.
But I'm saying, well, whatever. I mean, but a lot of these folks in these vans, they park at like campgrounds that are cheap, shit like that. You know, I think
that's
I mean,
not
like I said,
homeless.
Like they I said, the weather's nice. The food's good. Like, just the lifestyle is laid back.
What are you going to do, man? Are you a decent fisherman?
I'd probably have to learn how to be.
I would hope so. You mean those fucking sand flea things? You're going to need a lot of them.
I mean, what were you saying you would go?
So I'm going Wyoming.
Yeah. How are you gonna survive the winter in like 15 feet of snow?
I'm going to build a fucking shack. You kidding me? I got plenty of time. I have nothing but time.
That's one place that they definitely wouldn't kick you out of.
No, fuck, there ain't enough people. They wouldn't even know I'm there. I just got to find a way to obtain some alcohol, some beer.
You could make your own.
You ever seen The Legend of McDodge? I think we talked about this guy before.
I have not.
You need to educate yourself.
On The Legend of McDodge.
He lives in Washington State. I don't know if he's still alive or not. Guy didn't look great the last time I seen him, but legit wild man. Lives in trees, like in them. Not on them, above them, in them. Like he'll hollow out a fucking tree, sleep in that thing, wears deer skins. And
that's pretty wild. So you basically want to be like those
No.
Alaskan
no.
bush people.
No, but in Wyoming, you'd probably have to a little bit. I mean, you know what I mean? It's not wildly populated. I'm just saying there's going to be a lot of food out there. There's not that many people. There's going to be plenty of shit to eat.
Probably.
There's less people per capita in Wyoming than any other state in the United States.
I believe that.
500,000 people, almost a million square miles.
Well, have you ever seen those maps of like population density of the country? And it's like literally from like the Mississippi River to like California, it's just barren, man.
Yeah.
Like 50% of the, well, it's like something like, I don't know if it's like 50% or 70% of the population lives like east of the Mississippi River or something. I mean,
Kansas,
it's insane.
The Dakotas. I mean, fucking go check them out.
Tell you
sometime.
What, man. Now, I've never been to the Dakotas, at least not as an adult, but it just seems to me like that would be a harsh place to live. Cold and flat. Just bitterly cold and flat for the most part, right? And that seems like it would be fucking brutal. And not like a lot that. Of, maybe not a lot of resources. I don't know. Maybe I'm completely wrong, but I mean, I guess it's just what. Depends on what sort of resources you need or you're looking for.
Hey, plenty of people live there for a very long time before white people took it away.
That's true. It's a good point.
That's where Crazy Horse is.
Yeah. No, that's true. I've never understood why people live in the desert. That's fucking just bizarre to me.
Well, you want to live on the beach. It's basically the same. There's just not a lot of water.
Yeah, but I guess that's the difference.
Dry, arid.
But it's not dry at the beach, man. It's humid, which isn't great either, but.
That's what I was saying. The fucking desert might not be that bad.
I don't know, man. The desert would be rough.
You ever been to, like, Tucson?
I've been to Vegas.
Yeah.
Which is basically the fucking desert. Yeah. But. No, I've never been to Arizona. I wouldn't mind going sometime just to check it out, but it just seems so weird to me. I don't know. I like foliage too much. I like color. I feel like you don't get a lot of color in the desert.
What kind of color you get at the fucking beach?
Oh man, there's all kinds of colors. Tropical colors.
No, there isn't.
Yeah.
No, there isn't. Yes.
You're going to the wrong beach.
Osage fucking beach. There ain't nothing.
Osage Beach is in the Ozarks.
Whatever. You know what I mean.
Motherfucker.
Ain't no color down there.
I don't know, man. I think I'd take the beach.
Palm trees.
Hey, my Uncle Billy rocked the homeless lifestyle for a while, man, and he spent most of it in Florida, and he loved it. He was thriving.
Thriving. I'm a little dead eye. Florida.
That's right, man. Thriving. I mean, if there's a place you could sleep outside if you had to basically year-round, like the beach, the coast.
Taxes. They fuck you to death in Florida.
There's no
it's worse than Illinois.
No state income tax in Florida. There's also no state income tax in Texas.
Look, okay, so I get to keep the $300 I paid the state anyway, but they're gonna rape me every other fucking chance they get. Like, what's the difference? So.
Well, I'm sure they tax the shit out of things like in Florida. I'm sure like entertainment. There's probably like a goofy tax on entertainment with all the shit they have there, Disney, Universal, SeaWorld. So on.
You know what you should get into sometimes, and I see it on this news channel you're talking about, this TT. I don't get a lot of news on there, but I get a little bit. That they say down in those retirement homes or...
Oh, it's fucking free-for-all.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
They have, like, different signals. They put loofahs on their cars and all sorts
I mean, it's not like, even just unique to these, like, Florida retirement communities. Like, there are, I think, like, statistically, there are more sexually transmitted diseases in retirement homes than there are on college campuses.
That's like, awesome. That's the best. That might be the best stat ever given on the Pub Time podcast, like, ever.
I don't think it's bullshit. I really don't. I mean,
because I'll tell you right now, if you ain't fucking, you're dying. You know what I mean? Those people are not dying, and I love that. Well, for them.
They figure they're probably not knocking anybody up, so they don't even bother wrapping it up. They're just going for it, right? I tell you what, my 80-year-old ass ain't throwing no raincoat on. Fuck.
Why would you?
No.
Going out with my boots on. This could be the last one.
Exactly. Exactly.
Are you sure about that? Where'd you read that?
I've heard it several times. Like,
speaking of Peoria, I think the STD rates here are probably pretty high too. But
yeah. Oh, well, again, another joke I heard on the TT is there was a comedian or something, and he said the husband answered the phone. The doctor was calling and said, "Hey, we got a problem with your wife's chart. There seems to be a mix-up. We don't know if she has dementia or syphilis." And he's like, "Well, how the hell am I supposed to find out?" He said, "Well, drop her off a few miles from home, and if she shows up, don't fuck her." Like, well, I guess that's one way to find out.
TikTok's so good for everything.
Oh, it's great, man. And I know the Chinese run it and everything. They probably have all my information, but fuck them. I don't got anything they want anyways.
Speaking of the Chinese, you see those shootings that happened in California? I know they try to blow it up all over the news.
I thought I saw something, man. But you know what's sad is, like, it seems like it's so common that, like, I don't even pay attention.
It is. I mean, unfortunately, most of the time they're not.
No, I mean, it sucks. It's so, like, prevalent. Oh, another shooting. Oh, another shooting. I mean,
it's so easy to do to innocent people. But then they let these fuckers sit in prison. It's like, shoot them right there in the middle of the street. Let everybody know what happens when you do this kind of shit. They never do that. It's very unfortunate.
True.
You need to set the example at some point in time. Like, make an example of somebody. They don't. They never do. And they're like, "Hey, it's never going to end." Well, it's never going to end because you don't fucking show these other assholes what happens.
Well,
you
parade them around. Too, like, statistically. Dude, there's this wild.
You mean these fucking statistics? Is it all from TikTok?
No. There's this wild fucking Joe Rogan TikTok you listen to. He's got these two dudes on. It's fairly recent, and they're talking about, like, mostly what they're talking about is the pyramids and shit like that.
It's huge
and
bone. Like, I already seen it. Yeah.
Oh my God, it's crazy, right? But they basically are, like, saying that there was technology that existed a really, 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 really long fucking time ago. Like, basically advanced civilizations, all this stuff. And kind of their theory is that civilization crashed somehow, whatever, basically had a hard reset. And the people that sort of survived it became so, like, violent almost, just because that was what was necessary to survive. And so, like, you know, just there was this surge of violence through the Egyptian times and the Roman times. I mean, it's just extraordinarily violent. but just that over time, things have gotten like less and less violent. People have gotten more and more civilized, and that there's less crime and violence now than there was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, so on and so forth. It's just that the only difference now is that we hear about everything because we have basically world news at our fingertips 24/7, where that hasn't always been the case. But, you know, as far as the overall violence, it is, I think, significantly less than it has been any time in modern, quote, modern history.
Yeah, but back in the day, super... somebody did you wrong, you'd fucking go beat their head in with a rock or shoot them in the middle of Main Street. And
you didn't like the way you know, people thought or believed, and you just go kill them. I mean, it was brutal, ruthless. And the way you killed them typically wasn't
kosher.
It wasn't very friendly, yeah. You know, I saw something that popped up the other day about like the 12 disciples of Jesus and how all of them were executed. And or how they all died, and it was like crucified upside down, speared to death, like all this stuff. I'm like, good
who's
Lord.
The one that
like,
was upside down? It was John.
No, I think it was Saint Peter.
Saint Peter, there you go.
Yeah. But it's just crazy, man. Like, and I mean, I've watched a few documentaries on the Roman Empire and just how like much of a like dog eat dog world that was. It's like you didn't want, if you were related or if you were family of the emperor and the emperor died, like you were fucked, like because people were going to kill you so you couldn't take power. Like, I mean, it was like you were a target instantly.
Time to move.
But
as soon as that motherfucker got sick, got the flu or something, it's time to get out.
Yeah.
Peace out.
So, no, man, look at us. Like, just a little fucking history lesson here today. We, travel back in time to the Whiskey City in the late 1800s, talk a little Wyatt Earp, getting here in the Egyptians and the Romans. Love it, man. I love it. There's a lot of stuff that can be talked about the fucking, you know, ancient history and things like that. I don't know how we'd ever be able to condense it into like an episode without just bouncing all over the place. But
we'd have to pick one specific thing because... I was listening. You're talking about Rogan. I listened to some Graham Hancock the other day. I love that old man.
Yeah, he's they referenced him in this podcast 20 times. Graham Hancock and Russell.
He says, as a civilization, one of our biggest things we suffer from is amnesia. You know, because we had all the answers to a lot of this shit. We've just lost it through the years.
Yeah, well, and these guys talk a lot about the one I listened to, how. Because Rogan's like, does anyone take this to like these modern, are these people who've written these books and claim these theories? They're like, yeah, they basically like disregard it because if they acknowledge it and accept it, it means they're wrong. So like they try to push everything away that can make them be wrong or make them look bad in any way, shape, or form. It's so fucking ridiculous.
So kind of like I said, when we were talking about, you know, trusting the science and whatever else, it's still dick measuring a contest with most of these people because like you just said, if my thought is wrong, then what is right?
I tell you what, yeah, you want to,
it's all theory.
You want to say that sports people, athletes have egos, go into academia, man, like and these really highly intelligent people that write books and have these theories and all this stuff, those are some arrogant fucking people, without a doubt, that will do everything they can to protect their reputations, whether it means, you know, whether it's right or wrong. So, I mean, at least in the sports world, your ability is right out there on fucking TV for everybody to see. Like if you suck, people are going to know you suck or whatever. Like, you know, so you're going to have to actually have to go out there and back up, the shit that you say most of the time to where, unfortunately, like there's, you know, the large part of the population is not very intelligent, myself included. And we just kind of take the things that these people that we're told are smart. We take the things that these people say as truth without really any questioning. But in most cases, a lot of us don't have the means or motivation to question it. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
So, all right. Well, we've rambled enough. Do you know who we're fucking?
I know we're fucking, and I know where we're going next week. I got a good guy, you passed him up on the list, and I love it. I'm gonna tell everybody what it is right now. Episode next week, 2 weeks from now, whatever it may be. Kill your local pedophile. I've got just the guy.
Kill your
you local might have seen pedophile. You might have seen him on your news reel. You've Who's seen that? This guy before. The Alaskan Avenger.
Oh, I'm not sure, man.
You've seen him. If I send you a picture, you'd be like, yeah, I've seen that guy. I don't know the story. So
maybe so.
Next week, we're going to get into
it. I'm in.
You ready to do it?
Let's do it, man. Let's get out of here.
All right. Here's to those that wish us well. All the rest can go to hell. Fuck you, Curly Bill. You remember Curly Bill, don't you?
Yep, fuck him.
Fuck him.
Is he here?
Then fuck him.
Everybody in the club getting tipsy. Everybody in the club getting tipsy. Everybody in the club getting tipsy. Everybody in the club tipsy. I won't deny it, I'm a straight rider. You don't wanna fuck with me. I got the police busting at me. But they can't do nothing to a G.
Wow, 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 it's very nice.